WKSCO 1080 on your dial.
Am I live here? Yes, I am. Well, that's good. We're moving around here in the station. Did you play my lead-in? Huh, Mike? Didn't hit it off, eh? Okay, my name's Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed. I am a professional. I just watched a piece last night on the History Channel where they dropped in 9 Special Operations Group soldiers in the middle of a huge bunch of Vietnamese NVA regulars last night. They thought it was 3,000. They found out later it was 10, and they prevailed. Well, they got out. They didn't prevail. So we will make it here. And today's Saturday special is on compatible neighborhoods, if I understand correctly. Is that, no? I read your thing. I've got it right here. So I'll give you a little bit of a lead in. We did invite Jan Butz and Ellen Perry to show up as guests today. They both opted not to, which is very typical for elected officials to not show up when they're invited on matters of interest to you and I. If something's in the coastal zone, if I understand, it has to undergo a review. Neighbors get a chance and opportunity to give their input on the design, whether it's consistent, compatible with the coastal zone and everything else. Once you get past that, the only thing that really limits what you can build fundamentally are the county building codes. Or typically that should be the case. In Rio Del Mar, there's a house going in right now that has precipitated this as an issue, I would probably say, from what I've read. And the neighbors are complaining that it's too big for the area. It doesn't fit in with the area. It's not compatible with the area. And hence, we have the whole essence of today's show, and that is at what point should you be restricted in what you build on your property by your neighbors because they don't like it versus just should standard building codes dictate what you can build. I mean, that's the essence of the article, is that if your neighbors decide it's not compatible, they don't like the house you build, it's too big, could be too small, don't like the color, wrong story and stuff, they in fact have major input put on the house that you build on your lot. That's what compatible neighborhoods are about. And so I'm going to start right off and introduce my guest. Noel Smith is immediately to my right. Noel, how you doing? Give me a mic check.
Great.
Okay, keep speaking here. I got to do mic levels here because this was not set up.
Yeah, what I'm doing right now is I'm editor of the Aptos Times, Capitola Times.
Yeah, hang on here a second. I've got this. I've got to get my put that. You're right up against your mouth there. Let's see, and this should be 3. Go ahead, speak.
Yeah. Anyway, currently I'm working as an editor for the
Aptos Times, Capitola Times, and Scotts Valley Times, and I came across this. This particular issue back last May when it came before the Board of Supervisors. So that's what got my interest. Over here to my right is Cove Britton, who is a local architect. And Cove, introduce yourself.
Well, as Noel said, my name is Cove Britton, Matson Britton Architects. We've been the lucky firm to have designed 2 homes. There's one in Pleasure Point and the Cerisa Green home in Rio Del Mar that has supposedly precipitated this possibility of change in ordinances that require analysis of compatibility of your neighbor's home. What style it is, what size it is, whether it's a gable roof or a shed roof or whatever, and that's going to dictate what your style is and what size your home is going to be despite what the actual ordinances for that neighborhood is.
Okay, next, in Lauren, was that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, grab that microphone and bring it right up about half an inch from your mouth, Lauren, and then we'll get your mic level here. I'm probably pretty good right now, but go ahead.
So my name is Lauren Green, and my husband is Glenn Cerisa, and we are the owners of the home.
Well, let's see. Okay, maybe you're not quite close enough there. We are on, that one should be, okay, try again.
My name's Lauren Green, and my husband is Glenn Cerisa, and we actually own the property at 106 Farley Drive in Aptos.
Well, I can hear you on my input here. I can't. Maybe, Cove, can you shoot your mic her away for a second? We'll get these technical difficulties worked out here, folks. I should be fine on all these, and I'm not picking her up. Well, okay, you're turning everything down, but that's okay.
It's a matter of balance.
It's a matter of balance. Well, you know, there's not much balance here. Our panel is totally one way. We did invite the opposition to show up, and they opted not to, which I could not understand. As I said in the opening of my show here, this is fun, trying to get my, there we go. And for the most part, these are the people that want to build the house. I haven't seen the plans for the house. Do you happen to have a design here, something for me to take a look at? One of the things I noticed in reading the articles on it, the article was saying that they want to go, typically that neighborhood is single story houses. Well, let me finish this. Rio Del Mar is, the comment was Rio Del Mar, and the people that object say that Rio Del Mar is typically single story in many places. You've got a lot of older homes that run to 1,200 to 1,800 feet, and the complaint is people want to put in two-story homes that are now going to be 3,200 to 3,800 feet, things like that. And I'm thinking, because I've done some building before, if you've got an 1,800-foot home and you go from single story to two-story, just by basic size, you've doubled the living area without really expanding the footprint on the property. Is that accurate?
That part of it's accurate. The thing that's interesting is this particular neighborhood that the Cerisa Green property or home is on was surrounded by three out of four of the homes directly around it were two-story at their maximum size, meaning that they were
right within the maximum setback, minimum setbacks, maximum coverage.
They were built, most houses built since the 80s in Rio Del Mar are maxed out, meaning that they're close to the maximum sizes they're allowed. Some are over because rules have gotten more restrictive in some ways. So that was completely ironic on their, or ridiculous, or whatever you want to call it, that there is a house one block away that's bigger. There's two under construction now that are bigger than the Cerisa Green. And the homes on that block are primarily two stories, the majority of them are.
So, Glenn and Lauren, why were you singled out? Someone grabbed that microphone, either one of you, I don't care.
We're not sure. What we can discern is that we don't live in the neighborhood. We bought the house, and we're planning on remodeling it and changing the size. And several of the neighbors have just decided that we're foreigners, and they want to keep us out. That's the nearest we can determine.
You're newcomers and being discriminated against, eh?
That's pretty much what we can. And what it is they've discovered that in using some vagaries in the county ordinances, they can control the neighborhood and have decided to do so.
What vagaries?
Well, define neighborhood for me.
Well, you know, I...
Define
that's a good
compatible.
Place to start, yeah.
Define compatible.
Well, no, okay, but that's a good question. Let me go back to that very quickly here. And the question is where in the ordinance does it say, ordinances in the county, does it say, determine what neighborhood compatibility should be?
Well, there's two ordinances that are the primary design review ordinances. There's one that's Chapter 13.20, and that's something that if you're in the coastal zone and you're not excluded, that you have to, or the staff, planning staff, has to determine that the proposed resident is compatible with the neighborhood. Neighborhood isn't defined, nor is compatibility. That has been used in the past to sort of go, are there other two-story houses in the neighborhood? You know, is this a residential neighborhood? Well, yes and yes. Then there's a second part that's another, that's the actual design review note ordinance, and that was used when you had sensitive sites such as bluff tops or a sensitive community. In their situation, that wasn't did not apply. So there should have never been a discussion about what style the house was. Shouldn't have happened. And the staff recommended approval, and this project was approved to zoning administrators, but three of the planning commissioners started discussing design. And they didn't even discuss design. In some instances, they were just going, one of the planning commissioners goes, well, we have design review in my neighborhood, and I think it works, so I'm going to vote against this project.
Well, you know, I was totally baffled when I was asked to do the Saturday special, because as far as I'm concerned, is there building ordinances, you know, setbacks, you know, codes that you have to comply with. And above and beyond that, I don't know what the county has any business doing in telling a person what they should do in terms of the building of their house. I just don't see it. It makes no sense. And I also believe that about neighbors. It's hard enough to get along in this world, but so what? I don't like your choice of colors, your design, your whatever. As long as you're in compliance with county building regulations, that's too bad. Go ahead.
Can I say something here?
Sure, absolutely.
So we sat down with all of the neighbors early on in this process with the county on recommendation from county, and we sat down with the neighbors and asked them what is it they didn't like about our house. What they said was we didn't like the color. It was a foot too tall, and it was 6 inches too forward on the property. I mean, those are kind of minor kinds of things, and they really couldn't find anything that they could really hang their hat on to say that they didn't really like. They just didn't like it. And what it basically came down to, as near as we could tell, is they really like they don't want any change. And I really understand that humans by nature don't like change, and they don't like change especially nearby. But that's the process of evolution that neighborhoods go through. They change and evolve.
Well, I can't help but express my biases. If there are two lots and there's the ocean in front of them, and someone buys the lot farthest from the ocean and builds their house and has a great ocean view and loves it, and then someone comes along afterwards and wants to build a house between them and the ocean that blocks their ocean view, that's just kind of the way it is. They might not like that.
Well, let me expand on that. One of the things, in fact, we did when we decided to go ahead with this project, Cope's was painstaking in his design, because we went to the neighbors on all sides of us, on all three sides of us, the back neighbor and the two side neighbors, and asked them, what is it we could do to make this least impactful for them? And one of them said, can you move the house forward on the lot? Because our living space is upstairs, and we look out at the ocean. Could you please not block that? So we Cove went through contortions, designing the house so that it would not block this neighbor's view. And we moved the house forward because the other neighbor said, well, our house is set really far back on the lot. Can you move your house forward so we don't have to look in your windows? And we did all those things for those immediate neighbors. When we got to the planning department, we didn't realize that we had to design the house for neighbors a block and a half away. Some of these neighbors that are complaining are not nearby. They're not our next door neighbor. They're a block to a block and a half away that they're complaining. And one lady stood up in front of the county and said, when I get up in the morning, the sun will reflect off their house and it'll disturb me when I'm having my coffee. And she lives a block away.
479-1080-477-1340. We're talking about compatible neighborhoods, which I think is probably one of the most absurd ideas I've ever heard in my life. And as Cove pointed out, especially in the absence of a definition of what a neighborhood is, and especially in Santa Cruz, where you have a hodgepodge of everything from close to slums to expansive houses. Noel, you got something to say?
Well, when I first got involved in this and from a journalistic standpoint, concern was that not with the particular incidents here that Lauren and her husband and Cove are facing with the neighbors. It was the looked like the attempt at the county level to enact some new statutes, some new planning requirements that would formalize this involvement of neighbors in design and approval of design in the process, because as we all know, building in this county is difficult enough. There are plenty of regulations, and even some very esoteric ones talking about bulk mass and those kinds of concepts, without adding this another layer having to do with satisfying all the neighbors within who knows how many blocks as to the design of your home. So that was my concern, is to bring up the fact that the county was even considering enacting those kinds of statutes.
I agree. So call if you have any comments. I'd really like your input out there, 479-1080, 477-1340, because I really... When I look at this, is we might as well not even have a free country with private property rights if your neighbors determine what your house can be like. I remember living, one of the places I lived, the little old lady that lived next to me, decided to do something different. And she painted her whole house kind of a lavender color with a off lavender, darker lavender trim. And, it was kind of an eye opener and kind of woke you up in the morning. But I thought it was kind of great that someone had the courage to do that. And now we have a case where people are making a determination that, from what I understand about your house there, it's within the setbacks. There's nothing about the house. By the way, how big is it?
It's it ended up being about 3,800 square feet of living space, and it had about a 500 square foot garage.
Okay, and so, but you're well within the setbacks. None of that's a problem, and everything.
It met all the rules.
So the question I have for you out there is, when do your meddlesome neighbors have a right to tell you what you can build and how you build it and how it looks on your property? As long as it's, you know, as it's within the county building codes, as long as it's not a dump or something. I see if someone wanted to move an old trailer or do a Sanford and Son next door to you, you might complain. So give me a call, 479-1080, 477-1340. You had something to say, Glenn?
Well, I was just going to comment that, you know, when this, if these ordinances go through, or these, I don't even know they're going to make them ordinances or just kind of policies, if you want to remodel your house, change the color of your house, put a fence around your house, do any kind of modification to your home, you're going to have to ask your neighbors if it's okay with them. And if you can get all your neighbors to agree, then you can go ahead. Try and get 10 people to agree on anything.
Well,
it's an interesting process.
I think Cove brought up a very great point there, is that especially when you have things in an ordinance that are totally undefined.
And it's interesting because the term compatible in the state of Washington was determined unconstitutional because nobody would agree on what compatible is.
Yeah.
And most of the architects are looking at, just give us the rules. Give us a setback. Give us a height. You want to lower your size of houses? Just tell us. But this idea that we have to go around the neighbors and ask them what they like, this seems
so extraordinary. So fundamentally, if this ordinance goes through, you could in fact envision that anything that gets built in the county has a design review at the county level to look at the house and hearings for the neighbors to comment on, as they do right now in terms of the Coastal Commission?
We're expected now to meet with the neighbors prior to hearing. We're actually encouraged, even before we design the house, to meet with the neighbors. And I look at that and go, it's difficult enough to get a couple to decide what they like. I'm supposed to go convince the neighborhood that, what do you want? How big a house do you want? What style do you want? And I'm sure that no matter what I'm going to do, they're going to be unhappy. You know, I'm not going to be able to please them. So I've also gotten to being required to make this group of people happy for a single family residence.
Well, you know where I see this going? If you actually introduce something like this, it will expand beyond the initial phase to then it will be what the internal design of your house is, because even though I can't see it, you may have something in there that's environmentally unsafe, or I don't like it, or I think it draws too much electricity, or who knows what. You know, we found that with a lot of things in this society. So when neighbors start to tell you what to do with your property, there's something wrong here. I'll tell you, if you've got any input for me out there, 479-1080, 477-1340, where you can find a justification for house design by your neighbors, I'd really like to hear that one, you know. And if you're aligned with these people, Lauren and Glenn here, by the way, let me back up. How are you going to be able to build your house? Is that still up in the air? We don't know.
We don't know.
Well, let me ask you another question. I want to throw something else. Clearly, you did not own the property until you bought it, right?
That's correct.
Was it disclosed to you that if you bought this property in a very expensive area, that you might not be able to build a reasonable-looking house that you want to live in because the neighbors wouldn't let you?
No, and as a realtor and a broker, this is going to be another issue for people if this kind of thing does pass, that is going to be a huge thing for potential buyers and sellers, and it will affect property values significantly.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, because really, you know, if you buy a piece of property with reasonable expectation to be able to build within the rules, play the game by the rules, and you close escrow, and I'm sure that the property was not cheap over here. I don't know of any property over here that's cheap, and all of a sudden you find out that you purchased a worthless piece of property because of your neighbor's whims. I find that troublesome. 479-1080, 477-1340. we've got callers coming in here, and I'm just going to go ahead and start off with Nick in Royal Oaks. Nick, you're on the air on the Saturday special. My name is Vernon Bohr, by the way, through all the difficulties, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-cubed in for Michael's Whirling on the Saturday special, and we're talking about compatible neighborhoods, which is just a mind-boggling concept to me, and I have a pretty expansive mind because I worked in the realm of chemistry, and I can see things you can't see even with microscopes. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi. Thank you for coming out and discussing this. I don't think you're that innocent, and I think it's a little insult to the establishment as far as the size goes. You know, as when I look at these things coming in, these quaint little homes like this, and then they're all saying everything's big. You know, you have to heat it, you have to use resources, and it's coming from other areas, and it's just being financed. And what President Kennedy, when he made an address, a very angry address, when he made a deal with the steel industry, and a week later they raised the prices, and he called it an assault on the American intelligence. And another example of, you know, you said they build in front of you, and that's the way it is. And well, what's going on right now is, for years, there have been empty lots here and there, this has been eroding. And, you know, there's very expensive homes on the cliffs, and they're always remodeling, making them better. And when these lots are being built on, nobody has addressed that the fact that you can't, it's prohibiting, it's making it harder for these houses on the cliffs to be moved. And then that means that we have to shore it up a little harder, and then their beaches go. It's a very incredible area, and it's so nice to have a yard to walk out into. And I certainly look at these houses in the future and say, they've built so large that it's hard to even sit outside a little bit.
Okay, Nick, let me ask you a question. But who made you, as one of the other neighbors in the neighborhood, the determining factor in terms of what should go on the property? And it says you're in Royal Oaks there, so I think you're talking about a lot of stuff going
on. Well, I live right around Rio.
Okay.
And the determining factor, well, it's a harmony. They don't like a sore toe, you know, the color. I don't like seeing the ones on the hills. I wish they just paint them green so they match with leaves and stuff, and I don't even have to think about them.
Well, how would you feel if all of a sudden you had an influx of people in the neighborhood that says, you know, I hate that, I don't like that crummy little small place that you got. You got to tear it down, and you need to build a two-story house to be compatible with the neighborhood, because the fact of the matter is we like two-story living, and that's what we bought it for, and you're no longer compatible, because the problem is there's a back edge to every sword.
And it was fine, yeah.
Huh?
It's being fine. You know, these old places that you built around old shack, you know, you either make it quaint or, you know, it can be run down, It's watering down the architecture. I think the big things are, you know, they've watered down the architectural design.
Well, listen, we'll...
How is this being... How are you... Where's your... Are you our commuter?
Am I a commuter?
No, these people come...
I don't know.
You know what? I raised my kids in Aptos. My children went to Rio Del Mar School, Aptos Junior High School, and Aptos High School. So, no, I'm not a commuter. I actually work in Aptos.
Let me throw another thing out there. What's that have to do with it, though, Nick? If they're commuter, let's say that they moved here from Montana or New York or Florida or Oregon or New Mexico.
An area with something on their mind doesn't mean you could place it there like a square peg in a round circle?
No, that's not it.
Well,
at all.
You could place a round one.
Well, Nick, I certainly appreciate your opinion. I don't know how many people are going to agree with you. And by the way, I would think you're entitled to your opinion. I would not stop you from expressing your opinion, but I also would not dictate what kind of house you should build just because I didn't particularly it myself.
They have to empty the heat of the mill. I mean, you got to make a lot of money, and that's, you know.
So
I like
they might.
Maybe
they can afford it
to help out others.
Do you begrudge Bill? Yeah, I think that Bill Gates lives in a nicer house than I do. You begrudge him for what he has?
Actually, their new house will have a lower heating bill than the existing house that's there. That's 1,200 square feet.
Nick, got to move on. Got a bunch of calls on here. Thanks so much for calling. 479-1080-477-1340. Well, there was Nick in Royal Oaks that clearly has a problem with the size of your house. Would you two like to make a comment?
Well, the house that's there, I think Nick might want to check it out sometime because it's not on a foundation, part of it. And we had to get rid of the rats recently in the house. And it doesn't have heat. It's not exactly livable, would you say, Glenn?
This house was built as a beach cottage from the Rio Del Mar Hotel in the early 1900s. And it was converted into a kitchen was added much later in the 50s, and that's how old this house is. And you can, and so it's a hotel bungalow built early on, and it has a lot of problems with, like, you know, the electricity is everything in the house basically is below code. So all we're trying to do is improve the home.
John, what do you have to say?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
A pertinent topic. I've been through what the Greens are going through twice in the last 5 years. And I think there's a component in the controversy that you might want to think about.
Yes.
The homes along the coast are unique for a couple of reasons, but the most important one is their views of the ocean and the access to the beach. And they all command a premium based on how good that view is and how good that access is. And I mean a substantial premium. The home I sold 5 years ago in Aptos had, and this is from the professionals in the business, a $200,000 premium because of its ocean view compared to a home a half a block away that was either blocked by a bluff or a hill or a tree or a second story on another house or whatever. So I think you're dealing with changing the value of your neighbor's properties. That could be one of the things that you're dealing with. The home I bought in Aptos in 2000 had at least a $300,000 to $400,000 premium in it because of the ocean view. And people who buy homes and pay premiums like that build their lifestyles and their quality of life around those views and those realities, and of course you get used to it, like the woman who's complaining about how her coffee in the morning might be interrupted now. So the Greens have a very, very touchy issue because I think they may be affecting the assessed valuation, the possible sales values of the properties in the neighborhood.
Well, this is Noel, and I've been to that street, and just as somebody who happened upon this controversy, this is a house a block away from the coastal bluff, at least, and really has no effect on anybody's view of the ocean. Their neighbor did say that they did have a problem with the original placement of the house, so the house was plans were moved so that that was taken out of the way, and so the elements that are at under discussion right now really are a matter of size, a matter of the percentage of the lot that the house takes up, and the fact that the neighbors don't like that big a house.
Well, if that's actually the case, and of course I'll take your word for it, then the Greens have no choice but to bite the bullet, plow forward, and try to achieve their objectives through whatever means they can, legal of course, but there's no way that you can get 10 people in the same room and agree on the size, the color, the shape, the architecture, the style of roof.
John, I think that's the heart of the issue.
You just won't get there.
See, John, I think that's the heart of the issue. When you start to determine what someone can build on their property that goes outside the basis and boundaries of legal building codes for the area and things like that, you get into that whole subjective realm that if you allow the community to make subjective decisions on the new person coming in building, then it affects everybody along the way. Your points were well taken, in my opinion, but anytime someone builds or sells or whatever, values in the neighborhood change. I mean, that's just the way of evolution in society.
Well, I know you're right, and I agree with that. The issue here is the amount, the percentage of the value of the property that is affected by changes in view or beach access. It can be huge.
Well, this home, this isn't the issue. This one's buried back in a street, a relatively small street.
Well, is there somebody behind them or to the side of them that has a nice ocean view or a view of, say, Pleasure Point or Monterey that
the neighbor that had
interfered with?
The neighbor that had a view over the backyard, we designed so they could maintain that view. The primary difficult neighbor is across the street and does not have any view at all. It was really an aesthetic discussion. They wanted to dictate what this house looked like. I mean, it got to the point where we were talking about dropping this particular turret shape that's 8 feet wide. They wanted to drop it 2 feet. We had discussions of slicing the house in half in the center and pushing it together. I mean, it was things that had no obvious benefit to anybody except the aesthetic preference. And that ended up being supported by the Planning Commission.
Sounds like they ought to move to Santa Barbara.
Yeah. I hear they may be moving to New Mexico. And I'm going,
that
well,
would even be better.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Any closing comments here? Got to move on.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And good luck, Green.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to show a bias, but since the other side didn't show up, they forewent their opportunity to complain. Thanks so much, John.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 479-1080, 477-1340. Steve in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, hi, Vernon. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
This is an interesting discussion, as I'm right in the middle of this process myself. is this an actual something to be an issue that's going to be put through the county, or are they just talking about it?
And they're working on it right now.
They are.
They have working groups in Rio Del Mar, and they have a working group in Pleasure Point. And I think they're finding difficulties. It's a checklist that they're doing. And
is this the county people, or is this like local?
Well, it's unfortunate.
Two county.
Well,
a bunch are local.
Unfortunately, yeah, they're working with the groups, the particular people in Rio Del Mar that have created a lot of the difficulties for the Greens are involved in writing what you may have as an ordinance.
Huh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a little frightening to me.
It is very frightening. I'm halfway through the process. I'm just getting ready to get my coastal review on my project, which is another interesting story. Just a real quick thing, it's really funny. The first 20 feet of my property is in the coastal zone, and the rest is excluded.
Well, we could tell you a lot about that because it's exactly what the Greens are dealing with.
Well, guess what? Because of that, I'm in the coastal review.
Well.
Because the first 20 feet's in it.
How big a lot is it, Steve?
10,000 feet.
You shouldn't be. We just went through this. You shouldn't, unless your house is in the coastal review zone, you shouldn't be in it. I mean, we just went through that. County.
This is the problem I have with all this, for what it's worth, and I'm very clearly showing my bias this morning. Is you said 20 feet. I'm going, okay, on a 10,000 square foot lot, I don't know what percentage that is, but when you start to talk about coastal zones, you don't have clear cut guidelines or definitions, that all of a sudden, if you're an inch in the coastal zone, a foot in the coastal zone, so it is determined right now that as long as the house isn't in the coastal zone, you're clear. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that was determined by
by who determined that?
The Cerisa Greens had the Planning Commission determined that they're outside the area they should have been in a hearing in the first place.
But the question I have is there any definitive measure of what determines if you're in the coastal zone?
Yes.
They have a map.
They have a map that shows where the coastal zone is.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets more complex than that because the coastal zone goes pretty far inland. But most residences are excluded from any kind of public hearing. If you're within 300 feet, though, of a coastal bluff, you have to go to a hearing.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay? And there's an argument about what a coastal bluff is.
But is that your house or your property?
Your house. And that is very, very, that has been determined repeatedly and is official. You should not have to run into that if that's your situation.
I guess what I'm saying is my problem is making determinations with no objective form of measurement. You know, clearly that's a slippery slope, and that's what I have a problem with your case here, is that you're building a house within code. As you said, 3,800 feet in terms of a one-story house is roughly 1,900 square feet, so you haven't really changed the percent coverage of the lot.
Well, there's homes, you know, they can see a home two homes away in a street that's going to be 4,200 square feet, not including a garage, which I design. You know, and then there's another home right next to that that's over 6,000 square feet. So you can see from those houses, from the greenhouse, bigger homes. But what the thing that's partly scary about what this checklist is talking about doing is that you have to go through the neighborhood and look at how big the houses are. Okay?
Right.
And
right.
if they're below the what is allowed, you have to design that. So before you buy a property in the neighborhood, go check and see what the size of the houses are. Because that's going to be your size, not what the county ordinance allows, but what's there right now.
Actually, and we talked about this earlier. I brought it up. Is that that particular point? Is that? Hang on a second here. I'm going to make a comment. Then I got to talk to my producer here real quick. There's a real problem there because if you start to have ordinances like that, you really do weird things with property values. Given the fact that all of a sudden this has to be disclosed on sale. And that's the law of unintended consequences there. Anyone that owns a house in that neighborhood, you start to have that kind of stuff. You put your house on the market, you better disclose that during the sale is that you better go to the expense of an architect and designing your home and finding out if you're going to be able to build what you want, if you're not happy with what's on here already. Because if you don't, you buy the property and you find you can't build what you want, you're in dire straits. Anyone you want to take that one?
Yeah, what do you do with it then?
Yes.
Well,
at that point,
it's not just building a home; it's even a remodel. If you try and remodel your house, you're going to be having those consequences.
Well, I guess my problem is talking to the planning department. I think I need to talk with the Coastal Commission.
Well, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Exactly.
It's because the county and the Coastal Commission staff don't agree on what a coastal bluff is.
I know.
So
I've been through a couple of them.
Yeah, okay.
And my next one is on the bluff.
Ah.
We have actually, what, Cove, three geologists or four?
Four geologists, including county geologists.
Four geologists with written reports that say that we are outside.
That's the interesting thing with the Cerisa Greens is originally their coastal, the exclusionary, clipped their property. And unfortunately, staff hadn't informed us of that until after the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
And then staff went, hey, you know, this is really pretty ridiculous too, we agree. Why don't you design the house to miss the, you know, get yourself outside into the exclusion area? And we go, sure, we'll do that. No problem. Where's the map that shows that exactly? And we go, well, we don't have one.
You know what? I can't help it, but one of the things I find absolutely fascinating about this too is Santa Cruz has long lauded itself on its diversity, you know. And
all wear the same clothes from now on.
You know what I'm saying? Is that from the big monster houses to the little beach flats and everything, and all of a sudden now we can't be diverse. Anything else there, Steve?
I just wonder your guest of what's her name?
Noel Smith, Cove, I don't know your last name,
Britton.
In the Greens. Lauren and Glenn Green, who are trying to build a house there.
I wonder if he would mind me contacting him sometime off air and just pick his brain a little.
It gets picked a lot. It's getting a little full of holes.
I understand.
No, absolutely. That's fine. Yeah. It's Cove Britton, Matt's Britton Architects. Feel free.
Say that again.
Cove Britton, Britton, Mattson Britton Architects.
Okay.
So, feel free.
All right, thank you.
I tell you
much.
What, Steve, you know, you listen to me on the air?
Yeah.
You know, my email is vernon@vernonsplace.net, all one word.
Okay.
I'll get Cove's information here. Send me an email, and I'll make sure you get it it doesn't get dropped out, okay? Just send
Vernon
me an email. I'll get it to you.
Okay, Vernon what?
At vernonsplace.net, all one word, no apostrophes, no nothing.
Okay. At Vernon's Place.
That's
great.
It.
Thanks a lot.
And I'll make sure you get that. Thanks so much for
great.
Calling,
Thank
Steve.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
479-1084-77-1340. Marcy, you've been on hold for a bit there.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm probably going to say something that's fairly unpopular with your architect that's sitting there. We all know that the county is what it is, and it usually makes laws that respond to problems. But in this situation, there's two commonalities. in both the Pleasure Point and the Aptos situation. One is the county, one is the architect. I haven't seen the Aptos house, but I have seen the plans for the Live Oak one, and I thought they were ghastly. So that's my personal opinion. It was a huge house with a long wall, and these houses are monster houses. There's nothing else to be said for them. I have it in my neighborhood. I'm not happy with people looking down from their, you know, three stories above me. I'm not happy with their cathedral windows with, you know, light shine, their chandeliers shining, and there's no relief for me. You know, so I don't really know the particulars to this design, but I will say I think there is a problem in this town. Now, being an architect, I think you would agree, possibly, that neighborhoods do have a character and a nature. Would you agree with that, with building materials?
Actually, the thing I like to point out to people is if you look at Beach Hill in the city of Santa Cruz, there's a Queen Anne, huge Queen Anne. Most of the town loves it, but not everybody. And one house away is a streamlined Art Moderne, little tiny house. Clearly, out of character with the Queen Anne, out of character with the streamline. But I think it's part of the charm of Santa Cruz that those type of houses have.
I'll agree with
and,
that.
And I'll bet you anything, the guy that owned the Queen Anne just thought the Art Moderne was horrible. And probably the Art Moderne hated the Queen Anne. The problem is their personal taste. It's I don't design homes to please the general populace. I design it to please my clients.
Or yourself.
Myself in a combination. And what's kind of funny is that we are hired to do that over and over again. So
I
clearly wouldn't hire me, but that's fine.
Probably not. But anyway, thanks. Great topic, Vernon.
Yeah, well, Marcy, any other comments? You know, I applaud and salute you for your opinion. And the thing that I have, the only problem I have with it is all of us have things we don't like. I have dislikes. I don't like a lot of the opinions, the political opinions of people in Santa Cruz, but I certainly think they're entitled to them. I wouldn't try and restrict or stop them from expressing them.
I agree, but I also think there's certain community standards that could have been, and neighborhood standards that should be developed.
Well,
Live Oak has a certain nature. Pleasure Point has a different nature. You know, Aptos has a different nature. And, you know, I do not see that the Pleasure Point house was designed with anything to absolutely celebrate that joy of the beauty of Pleasure Point and what it's been and its history and its nature and its character. But anyway, I'll go now.
Well, I certainly appreciate, you know, I appreciate your coming forward and saying what you have to say. Well, you and I would probably disagree is that my science background says that when it comes to what people build on their property and stuff, I want kind of objective standards.
Yeah, and you do want rules. And I appreciate the fact that they're going through this problem because of the confusion over a lack of direction and guidance.
Yeah, and I have a problem. As long as the house that gets built in a neighborhood is not a danger to the neighborhood or the neighbors, it complies with building codes and stuff. Because I think those are the criteria I would pick. The problem I have with designs and everything is because people do have different tastes, and I think it protects your right as well down the line where you decide that you wanted to do something that your neighbors ganged up on you about and says, oh, we don't like this. I think you have a right to paint
it's
your house.
It's an understanding that everybody has on all sides.
You've been jewel, Marcy. I really appreciate the call.
Hey, we'll talk soon.
You betcha. Thanks. 479-1080-477-1340. You look like you wanted big comment over there.
I just wanted to say we bought the house. It'll be 3 years in January, and one of the reasons it's the neighborhood that I've always actually wanted to live in, being in real estate, I get the opportunity to see lots of different neighborhoods all over Santa Cruz County, and that particular neighborhood is my favorite neighborhood of all the neighborhoods in Santa Cruz County. There's some beautiful areas to live, and the Rio Del Mar neighborhood right above the cement ship, Cafe Rio, and that particular area is just an absolutely magical, I think, area. So I've waited a long time. I actually drug my husband out of the country 5 acres mm-hmm. to buy in that little area. And the reason that we bought there is because there weren't any CCNRs. There wasn't a homeowners association, and it was a neighborhood where there weren't restrictions, and you weren't bound by anything that was going to inhibit or prohibit anything that we could do with the property. So when we bought it, we didn't have any idea that we were going to be put through any process like this.
Well, I think you brought up a good point there. We're going to pick this up after we do a commercial break here in a second, and that is CCRs. You've got one condition where you establish a neighborhood with conditions, covenants, and restrictions versus open property, and you specifically picked your property in a region that allowed you a latitude of freedom to build that you thought you had and didn't anticipate these problems. We're going to do some commercial breaks now, and then we're going to go to Harold, Jim, Dave in Monterey. My name is Vernon Bohr. You're listening to this Saturday special, and we're talking about compatible neighborhoods, whatever the heck that might be.
Right now, the sun is shining, but people are crying. This is Aaron Neville speaking for the American Red Cross. When a hurricane like Katrina passes, it leaves behind massive devastation. Just because the weather map shows a storm is over doesn't mean it's over. People have lost their homes, lost their families. People were glued to their TVs. Where will it hit? Where will it hit? It's still hitting. For some people, Hurricane Katrina could last for the rest of their lives. This is a country that comes together in times of need. Do whatever you can. Please help these people put their lives back together. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or go to redcross.org and click Donate Now. If it takes a while, keep trying. Please help the devastated victims of Hurricane Katrina and thousands of other disasters each year. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-HELP-NOW. Right now, the sun is shining, but the work has just begun. Brought to you by the American Red Cross, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Here's the bad news. Credit card companies are charging up to 22% interest these days. Now the good news. If you're a homeowner, there's a good chance that you can save a lot of money on credit card debt with a tax-deductible mortgage loan, even if your credit rating is low. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. We would love to help you save money by consolidating credit card debt with a new home mortgage. Please call us at Pacific Inland today, 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
As you sit where you are right now and listen to the sound of my voice, as a question, I wonder what it would be like to work in radio. Ever crossed your mind? How do I get started? Is my voice good enough? Well, KSCO is looking for board operators. This is an entry-level position, no experience is necessary, and full training will be provided. So if a fun, pleasant working environment in radio is on your dial, call Rosemary at 475-1080 during business hours.
A, B, C, D, D, I can't remember.
Poor nutrition in his first 5 years can limit memory development. Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. To find out more, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ad Council.
Do you like pets? Are you a pet fanatic? We've got a segment of Good Morning Monterey Bay just for you. It's Pet Talk with Angeline Siegel, brought to you by Callie's Whole Pets. Learn about puppies and kittens, vacationing with your pet, exercise, the best thing to feed your animal, and other issues like dealing with a senior dog. These are just some of the topics that Angeline will address during Pet Talk, brought to you by Callie's Whole Pets. That's Tuesday mornings at 7:45 during Good Morning Monterey Bay.
And back to the Saturday special with your host, Vernon.
Okay, back here with you on the Saturday special. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed. In with Noel Smith,
Cove Britton, an architect, and the Greens, Glenn and Lauren, who are trying to build a house in Aptos, and the neighbors don't like what it's going to look like for some reason. One of the things that was said earlier that I found actually amusing is I would defy anyone driving down the street, and I would give them about five tests to be able to tell me the house heights within a foot of each other just by looking at them from the street, because that's all a matter of perspective angle and everything else, as well as whether the house is 6 inches too far forward or 6 inches too far back. What do you have to say about that, Harold?
Good morning, Vernon.
Good morning.
And guests.
Yes.
First, I'd like to know what city or area of the country they came from. For instance, I was 41 years in Watsonville, and I've been 11 years in Aptos, and I've walked the precincts of, they're calling, we're unincorporated, of course, that's, we're not an official town, so everything from Seascape, Seacliff, Rio Del Mar, Aptos, it's all called Aptos now, even though the locals there call themselves Rio Del Mar. It's like a little territory, so moving in, you've got to understand that, too. And there's a lot of retired people there. They're barely getting by, and they're renting out rooms just to survive the tax man every year. So question number one is, where did they come from?
Is your name Harold?
Yes.
So earlier in the show, you must have not been listening. I actually...
Yeah, to write up this summary, I had to turn the radio off for 10 minutes.
Okay.
So.
Well, I actually work in Aptos, and I raised my three children there. They all went to Rio Del Mar School, Aptos Junior High, and Aptos High School.
Okay, so you lived in the Aptos area also?
Yes.
But you didn't commute in to work from San Jose or something?
So they're not evil out-of-towners.
No, I'm not an evil out-of-towner.
They're not aliens.
No.
If nothing else, in this second hour, I want you to realize now that we have this new power the government has of eminent domain, where they can literally tear down your house if they, for any cause, and rebuild anywhere. So people have that in the back of their mind now. I don't know how Congress got that through, but they did. So you know that the county government has an unquenchable thirst for more tax revenues. So the locals are thinking, okay, if we let these bigger houses come in, then my house might be reassessed.
You know, Harold, I hate to interrupt, but I just think we got a bunch of busybodies in the neighborhood that just want to have their say on what someone does with their property and what kind of house they build. And if they don't like the fascia on it or the dormers or the skylights or the way the color of paint, they want to be able to say so.
Yeah, Harold, it was even to the point, Harold, where the neighbors were wanted input into what color we had. We said it was white. They wanted to know what color white.
And what kind of, what specimen of trees we were going to put in the front yard, and they could not exceed a specimen that were higher than 28 feet, even though the next door neighbors have trees that are exceeding 60 feet.
So I'm going to ask everyone to hold their thoughts, because we're coming to the top of the hour here, Harold. Even you, I'll put everybody on hold. I will pick you up after the top of the hour news break and let you finish your list there as we continue this Saturday special on compatible neighborhoods. A concept that boggles my poor, mentally challenged mind. Listen, you're listening to KSEO Santa Cruz and your KOMY Watson.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSEO has the inside track.
Back to the second hour of the Saturday special. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. B-Cube.
Sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to
KSEO Radio. Bye. So excited there about the topic, I had to jump in prematurely. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cube, sitting in for Michael Zwirling on this Saturday special. We are discussing compatible neighborhoods, and we are looking at a condition where right now they want to make new ordinances in the county, where they determine what kind of house you can build, the size, the color, everything. And I said during the break, we were discussing this, I was really intrigued by something. I thought, well, if the neighborhood wants to determine or have control over houses that are built in their neighborhood when a piece of property sells, the neighbors should buy it for the going rate. Then they own it, and then that could be a condition of sale when they sell it to the next person in the absence. Now, that's an objective criterion. Then they can decide whatever they want. In the absence of that, my position, I personally feel that, in fact, the only things that should determine what you build on your property are building codes, setbacks, objective criteria that's written down and takes out the visual aspect of your house from the neighborhood. Because, you know, you start determining what you're going to build in a neighborhood based on what people want, you're in trouble. It just all turns out to be based on the loudest voices, and that comes back to haunt everyone. When we went to the break, we had Harold on the line, and Harold, it was brought up, was not the legislature that, in fact, invokes eminent domain or made that determination. It was the Supreme Court, and I missed that, and I was called to task on that. Harold, you're on the air.
Okay, as far as I'm concerned, these are nice people, and they can paint their house what they want to, and once they get it built, do what they want to. But I'm concerned, too, in this area, you realize that we have a scarcity of water, and they keep building everywhere, and they're not going to do anything about it until all the water is gone, so they'll have water problems, too, with this new building.
That's a different topic for a different time, Harold, because this...
No, that's part of building. Building your new house.
Tell me,
the water to support you.
Harold, I'm going to pot you for a second. Tell me what the availability of water has to do with compatibility of neighborhoods.
Am I back on?
Yes.
Okay. The building of water to the compatibility of neighborhoods. Okay? Because if you overuse the water, then your neighborhood, everybody in the neighborhood will suffer. They will have less water per household unit.
Harold, it's not that I disagree with you, but that's actually what they call a non sequitur. Compatibility of neighborhoods in terms of design and whether your neighbors like the structure of your house and what it looks like is different than water. In fact, there have been building moratoriums in communities where they didn't feel there was sufficient water to allow continued building. So, although water is an issue for our communities, it has nothing to do with compatibility of neighborhoods. Go on to your next point.
And the last thing, I'm going to compare the Rio Del Mar where they want to build the Seascape. And what they did in Seascape, they built these larger luxury homes, and then right below them in the hill, they built these apartment complexes. And this big home you're going to build, is your family going to do all the cleaning and upkeep and painting, or are you going to hire outside workers to do all your labor?
I don't know what that has to do with it.
You mean
I'll tell you in a minute why. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to personally build a house. I don't have the skills to do that. And are you asking me if I clean my own house? Well, that's what I would be doing if I weren't here. Does that answer your question?
Okay. Because what we're concerned with when I walked the precincts is what they did in Seascape is your gardener, you're going to have nannies sneak in. They're going to be illegal aliens to upkeep your house. And it is a factor here whether you want to face it or not. That's my last point. Don't do it.
Well, Harold, points well taken. I don't agree with most of them. I think they're off point. But,
no, I'm not.
But,
know
you know, I'm going to exercise compatibility of the callership, and based on that, I have to move on. Thanks, Harold.
I knew you would, Vernon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. well, I'm not going to say anything else. I totally didn't follow Harold at all. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi. First off, there is no building code in Santa Cruz County. Nobody knows what it is. It's the Uniform Building Code +++, but nobody can tell you what the +++ is. And actually, I don't think the Greens should be concerned about that, because if they're wealthy, that actually works in their favor, because you can just hire architects and consultants and contractors to walk you through the building process until eventually you win, which you will. And but for middle-class people and poor people, forget it. You're out of the game. But I do support having a fixed, measurable, definable constraints and definitions, which we don't have today. I mean, there's a county in Santa Cruz that uses, not in Santa Cruz, there's a county in the state, I won't tell you what it is because I don't want anyone to move there, where they just use the uniform building code. You still can't pollute a creek, and you have to, you know, you have to make sure that you're not.
I don't think we'd have a problem here, Jim.
I understand.
Those were the only considerations.
Right. No, I'm gonna move on to the next, but I just wanted to build on that. So that doesn't exist today, so I'm sympathetic. I think we should do that. And one of the things we should do is limit the size of the house, because I think one of the things that people like yourself are going to run into is if you try to build a 4,800 square feet house or 4,200 square feet, 6,000, eventually you're going to create some resentment, and people are just going to try to block you no matter what you do.
Well, yeah, their house was 3,800 square
feet. That's huge. That's huge. The average house in America 30 years ago was only like 1,200 square feet, and now it's like 2,400 square feet.
Yeah, and the average form of transportation 100 years ago was a horse and buggy.
No, this is relevant. The other thing is
it's
that we voted for a Coastal Zone Act. The people of California voted for it, and the spirit of the act is to protect the viewshed of the coast.
But they're not covered by that, Jim.
That's probably just an aside. You know,
I just want to point out the asides, because I actually want to say the other thing, too, is right now in terms of county, we may have minimal building codes, but the two main criteria that we have for houses are setbacks and percent lot coverage, correct?
Yep.
I mean, and so when you talk about monster houses, if you want to get objective, those are controlled right now, as I said, by setbacks.
No, they're not, because they make them arbitrarily large.
Let me finish this real quick. They are, that's dealt with currently. If you want to change that, that's fine, but you don't want something to be ex post facto, and that's done by setbacks and percent lot coverage.
Got it. You're right. I just want to say, though, that, you know, I've been living in Santa Cruz for 32 years now, and I've seen this place just get, in my opinion, it's been destroyed by people building those huge houses everywhere. Every neighborhood, Live Oak, Aptos, at this point it's so bad it almost doesn't make any difference anymore. We can just throw the whole thing out
John?
The window.
Make this a county
for the rich, you know? Just let rich people build any big house they want, you know? And then let's just let it go.
Jim, let Cove respond.
Jim, it's interesting for me because we design all different size houses. We've done 800 square foot houses, 1200 square foot houses, 400, and I would no more insist my client that wants a 1200 square foot house have a big house than I would insist somebody that has a big house have a small house. Who gets to make that decision?
Can I finish my thought, Jim?
I am going to pot you down because I let you go on for about 2-3 minutes there. And Cove didn't say anything. And I'm going to pot you back up, but let him finish, and then you can have your say, okay? You're back on the air, Jim.
And I think the thing that would be really valuable is for the community as a whole, not just you and not just me and not just the Greens, decide what size houses they'll allow. Not the Board of Supervisors, but the community as a whole. The community could say the maximum house size is 6,000. It's arbitrary, but what the heck? But this idea that we decide on a case-by-case basis is how does the middle class, and you've said it, how does the middle class design their home? They don't know what size they can do. And that's where it's just fundamentally unfair.
Go ahead, Jim.
We are in 100% agreement on that issue.
Great.
Jim, let me ask you one last question here from Vernon, okay? Because
you
made the comment about saying the degradation of the neighborhood. I haven't lived here quite as long as you have. I've only been here 25 years.
Yeah.
And in my work outside the studio, I roam the county a lot because I do locksmith work, I do computer work, I'm self-employed, and I'm taken all over the place. And you know what? As I drive through all sorts of streets in Live Oak, I was in Rio Del Mar the other day, I'm going down that way today, I get up in Felton area and stuff. I am not particularly struck by any particular house that sticks out like a sore thumb for me, and I don't go to bed at night with a belief that the town's being destroyed. So you and I see things differently there. What house should I be aware of?
I won't point to any particular house. I don't think that would be fair, for one thing. But, you know, having been here for 30 years, and I don't want to lord that over anybody,
mm-hmm.
just to me it saddens me to see how it's changed. 30 years ago, there were a lot of small houses on pretty good-sized lots set back from the road, and there were gardens, and there were trees, and there were a lot of walnut trees. The sidewalks were littered with walnuts. People used to drive around on their bikes and pick them up in burlap sacks. And what has happened over the years is those little houses have been jacked up made into two-story houses. Then they've built McMansions in the front. I've seen it all over all the neighborhoods of Santa Cruz. I mean, I've seen it down near the Yacht Harbor. I've seen it down on, you know, the whole east side of Santa Cruz. I've seen it in Live Oak. I've seen it. And now in the mountains, we get a different thing going on where, you know, if you have enough money, you can buy enough acreage. You can come up here. You can hack all the oak trees down, and you can build a big horse farm. And apparently, if you're wealthy and you have horses, you can pollute the creek. I guess that's okay.
We're not talking about pollution.
I know we're not, but I'm just saying this creates this emotional feeling in people that they've really lost something that's really valuable to them.
Well,
what we have lost is the environment of our community.
I would not disagree with you. I would leave you with one final comment that I do need to move on, and that is Alvin Toffler in the 60s, when he wrote his book Future Shock, said that people that could not adapt to change at the rate that technology changed societies would be ground under by society. There were people that complained at the turn of the century, I know, about cars coming in and replacing horses and buggies, and there were my understanding about the community 50 years ago before, you know, I was just 8 years old in Southern California, complained about, you know, it was a retirement community. There was not people living here for the most part. I grew up in Southern California. I was down there recently, and all those wonderful orange groves I used to run through are now built over. It's kind of the way life goes, and I don't expect you to like it, and I appreciate your opinion. Any closing comment? Got to move on.
I fully expect to get crushed.
Jim, you've been a gentleman and scholar. Great conversation.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I usually don't do that. I thought he was done. Dave in Monterey. Jim, if you want to call back, I'll give you 30 seconds to wrap that up. Dave.
Yeah, good morning. How
yes.
you doing?
I'm doing great.
I was born in Salinas in 1943. I grew up near King City on a ranch. And presently we own property in Monterey and Wyoming. And we made a decision just a few weeks ago. We're going to move back to Wyoming in a couple of years. And this whole conversation has just reinforced the reason why I'm going to move back to Wyoming. and also, one thing I want to comment on, the concept of eminent domain has been around for over 100 years. We wouldn't have freeways if we didn't have eminent domain. We wouldn't have a lot of things. That Supreme Court decision was on one aspect of eminent domain. It didn't create eminent domain.
That's true.
People are very confused. I'm an attorney by background. I'm also not a doctor. But the problem is people are very confused over legal things. They can go look them up if they want to. They can figure them out if they want to. And in the meantime, we're moving to Wyoming. Thanks a lot for your
help. Don't go yet.
Okay.
That would be too quick, Dave. Because
okay.
The only problem is that what's happening here in a nation like this has a way of creeping back there. There will be people from Aptos that will show up in your town in Wyoming within the next 10 years and say, how could you have possibly been allowed to build that ranch house? Don't you understand? It offends the neighbors.
They're trying that already in Wyoming, but it's not working. So far it's not. The reason why I like Wyoming better than Montana is the property taxes in Wyoming are really a lot less, and there's no income tax. And you can actually buy property there and, you know, investment property and rent it out and make money on it.
Yeah, I just want to say, lighten up, people. What is it about this society that has no... Listen, what I don't believe about this town, there's all sorts of tolerance for dress, the way you look, what you pierce, what you don't pierce, what you paint on your body, what you, you know, what you drive in terms of cars with bumper stickers, smoke and stuff, no war for oil.
But what you know, your house.
But you know what? Let someone come in legitimately that wants to build a house in accordance with code.
Yeah.
And the neighbors get all in a tizzy. That just goes to show power corrupts, and power corrupts absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know what else
to say. Power based on nonsense is also a problem, too.
Well, Dave, send us a letter and listen to us
okay.
on the Internet from Wyoming.
Talk to you later.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 479-1080, 477-1340. Anyone on the panel here want to weigh in? I have very strong opinions about this subject matter.
Well, I always find it really, because it is really interesting that we'll work for one neighbor and do their dream house. And we even have a situation where we're working for a neighbor on the other side, and the neighbor that we're working or the client we're working for didn't really care that much about what the neighbor wanted next to them. Then we designed something for their neighbor that really bothered them. Yeah, you know? and it seems to always be a no-win situation. I mean,
it always is going to be a no-win situation when you're designing for one person and the other person has input on whether they like it or not.
Yeah, well, that's why good fences make good neighbors. It's once you're inside your fence line, we all follow the same rules.
Going back to the air, Scott, you're on the air.
Thank you, Vernon.
Yes.
The Greens' civil rights have been violated. I believe they should absolutely file suit in federal court. This is a it's part of a much bigger issue. One, I can't remember his name, but one mayor, an earlier mayor of San Francisco, of Santa Cruz, decided that he would make Santa Cruz a socialist model. I think we need
Mr.
to...
Mr. Rotkin.
Yeah. You know, the old story, Vernon, of three people on an island and two men and one woman, and they take a vote as to whether or not they can rape the woman. That's called the totalitarian of the masses, you know, the tyranny of the masses, rather. And a democratic republic is a nation of laws where government has powers that we, the people, give it, and individuals have creator-given rights in a totalitarian socialist government. The governments have rights. We're not in a pure, you know, democracy. You know, it's the issue of the living constitution, okay? Let's play poker, Vern. Let's sit down and play poker with an I'll hold the book.
With
the
a living
book
debt.
Of Hoyle. How about the living book of Hoyle? You know, if there's no unchanging law, there's not a chance for freedom. So we have to stand up to this absurdity and their illegal methods and stop them. So I suggest absolutely file, and not only the Greens, but the architects' civil rights have been violated. You know, Lincoln would give...
Scott, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Just a second.
I was just worried
that.
Maybe you dropped over on me.
No, it's the I'm calling from a payphone.
That's Lincoln, passion.
Sorry about that. Lincoln, you know, there was an issue brought before him when he was lawyer, and it was whether or not these people had purchased property on both sides and they wanted to build a bridge across the river, and there had been a ferry there for generations. And so they argued that these people can't build a bridge. It'll take away our business, okay? And he gave them 9 points. He gave them all these points. You know, they've been here and all this time and all this stuff. It'll affect all these things. But then finally he said, who has more rights to the river? The people who own the ferry business or the people who want to build this bridge? Does either one of them have more rights to the river than the other? And, you know, who has rights over your property? That's your property, you know? That's your property, and it's, you know, socialism, it's a busybody government. It's a busybody government where everybody is into everybody else's business.
Scott,
it's absolutely outrageous.
But what I want to say again, this is the thing I find so curious, is that these arguments could even get any sort of foothold, because in my opinion, they hold no weight. You know, clearly, I've had some good callers that articulated their point of view eloquently, in my opinion. Marcy was one, and I certainly respect her, and she explained what she didn't like about it, but in the absence of objective criterion to make the determination, then everything's up to the whims of the public, and I don't want the public telling me whether they like my car or not, or, you know, how I should paint my house, or...
You know, there's laws. What if we don't like black people in our neighborhood? You know, without those laws, it's exactly the same thing.
And those were laws of the neighbors, right?
I agree this is totally the same issue. I mean, either aesthetics are less important or more important. If they're less important, then everybody should leave it alone. If they're more important, it means that they should be respected as a right to your religion, a right to your sexual preference, the right of your race. It is the same sort of issue.
It would have been life, liberty, and property. It was originally written that way, but it was changed because of slavery. They didn't want to, you know, make that could go on in perpetuity.
Well, so you know, you might actually argue that the neighbors in Aptos are exercising their pursuit of happiness.
Absolutely, and it brings up the value of the entire neighborhood. Each house, everybody's equity goes up.
Or they may be pursuing the misery of their neighbors.
That could be so.
But that might be what makes them happy. That's the break. That's called the price of freedom.
Scott, thanks so much. Anything
thanks,
else?
Vernon. Great show.
Thank you
Good
so
bye.
Much. Appreciate it.
God bless you.
Bye. Same
bye.
To you.
Thank you.
Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up before your next caller is that the way that this is going to be instituted by the county, if they do pass the ordinance, is that every time somebody wants to make an addition or build a house, they have to fill out a checklist. And this checklist will talk about the architectural elements, the size, etc. And then the neighbors will have access to that. And if there's anything on that checklist that they don't agree with, then they can force a public hearing.
479-1080-477-1340. Actually, there is a tremendous potential for you in the future, Cove, because we will probably have county-approved architects. And if you haven't offended people too much, you can probably be on that list.
I'm already on a list, and it's not that one.
Listen, we're going to do a couple quick commercials here, and then we're going to come back to the phone for Richard, Mark, and there are other people ringing in. You're listening to the Saturday special on KSCO. My name's Vernon Bohr, in for Michael Zwirling. We will be back with you shortly, and let's see if we...
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
A number of years ago, when Fort Ord was divided, a 175-acre parcel was put aside for a veteran cemetery. That was very appropriate. Thus far, nothing happened to make that a reality, despite the fact that there are over 40,000 veterans in this area. Our lawmakers, federal and state, are in no hurry. So much for misguided priorities. Veterans of World War II, my generation, the best and the bravest, often called the greatest generation, and it was, is now getting the shaft. A state cemetery would be easy to achieve. It's merely a question of money. Our state leaders say, sorry, there are no funds available at this time for a cemetery. I say, bull pucky. It's disgraceful and unforgivable to let down our vets who put their lives on the line for the rest of us. Many died in combat, and if we had lost in World War II, we'd all be marching lockstep and saying Heil today. No money, you say? So, give up a part of your very bloated salaries, pensions and perks, plus your own hefty health benefits, all of which the rest of us and the veterans of World War II, plus the veterans of subsequent wars, continue to provide for your comfort and your enjoyment. Mr. Maldonado, you promised to faithfully represent our area, so we voted for you, and you have shown no interest whatsoever in this urgent project. So, if you expect to remain in office, lean on your buddies in Sacramento and make the cemetery happen now, not later, because time is running out for the greatest generation. Many already are in their mid-80s. We're not talking useless pork. We're talking payback time. So get on with it. Do the right thing. And another thing. It would be nice to know exactly which of our lawmakers are keeping our warships out of the San Francisco Bay Area on Veterans Day or any other day. That is a national disgrace. Shame on all of you, and you know who you are, for all veterans and for KSCO and KOMY. This is Kay Zwirling.
Here's the bad news. Credit card companies are charging up to 22% interest these days. Now the good news. If you're a homeowner, there's a good chance that you can save a lot of money on credit card debt with a tax-deductible mortgage loan, even if your credit rating is low. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. We would love to help you save money by consolidating credit card debt with a new home mortgage. Please call us at Pacific Inland today, 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
As you sit where you are right now and listen to the sound of my voice, has the question, I wonder what it would be like to work in radio, ever crossed your mind? How do I get started? Is my voice good enough? Well, KSCO is looking for board operators. This is an entry-level position, no experience is necessary, and full training will be provided. So if a fun, pleasant working environment in radio is on your dial, call Rosemary at 475-1080 during business hours.
Okay, back here with you on the Saturday special. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, 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 a.k.a. V-Cubed. If you want to get in on this great conversation about compatible neighborhoods, which I still haven't figured out what they are yet, you've got 28 minutes to do it. We're going to keep on the lines. As you know, all my listeners out there, you come first. Richard in Watsonville, are you part of that group out there?
In Rio Del Mar?
Yes.
Down on the beach?
Yes.
No. No, I'd never live down in that hellhole down there. I mean, have you seen those houses down there?
Well, I was down that way the other day. I'm going to go down that way today after the show.
What a shame.
Well,
I got better things to do than go to some place where you got one way in and no way out, just the same way out, huh?
You
know,
yes.
I mean,
what?
It's just like going down to Seacliff. They got the same problem down there. But, you know, water is an issue. All water runs to the ocean.
But Richard, let me ask
you. What, city of Watsonville is feeding Pajaro Dunes all the way down to Sunset Beach now.
Clearly, you know, I haven't even engaged that issue because I don't think for this show it's an issue.
Well, no, I just wanted to mention that.
You just threw it in there.
Right. No, I want to, I've been keeping up on this, actually. This has been going along with a house that they passed in Pleasure Point. Where, if you look at it from the ocean, it looks like they took cement and just put it all over the outside of the cliff.
Which one is that?
We have a modern house being put in Pleasure Point. It was approved, but the Rio Del Mar group and the Pleasure Point group have been working tag teams around that.
Are you the architect?
I'm the architect for both of them.
Yeah, you're the one that draws pictures for people that want pictures drawn. And the lady, I guess her name was Lauren Green or something like that.
Yes, Lauren's right here.
She moved into a house that was didn't have a CCR or a what do you call it? Community
CCNRs.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do they call those things?
Covenants, conditions, and restrictions.
Yeah, but they have an easier name for it.
CCNRs. Rules. Rules.
So like a homeowners association.
Yeah.
That's true. There's no homeowners association.
When
there
she
yet.
Moved in there, there wasn't one, right?
There still isn't.
Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, yeah, there is. I mean, you guys were at the Santa Cruz County Board of Supervisors meeting, there was a whole lot of opposition there, wasn't there?
Well, there was a particular group against it, but it's not a homeowners association.
No, but it's a particular group. I mean,
it is a particular group.
I saw the homeowners association in action there on the Pleasure Point one. You know, I mean, these people are falling into the same category. The only thing is, I think your supervisor is Tony Campos, right?
No, actually, Ellen Peary in Rio Del Mar and Jan.
Yeah,
Butte,
why does she recuse herself?
It was a question we asked ourselves.
I mean, Tony does it whenever something big like that goes on down here in Watsonville, like this Manavi Bergstrom. He's got property right next to it, and yet he's not having anything to say. He recuses himself. So why doesn't Ellen Peary recuse herself? Because when you go to the Regional Transportation Commission, LAFCO, these supervisory commissions, the same people they're always there. Emily Riley, Marty Wormhout, and Jan Boots, and Ellen Peary. They're at all these meetings, and they're the same people that regulate everything.
Supervisor Peary actually participated in a four-hour-long negotiation meeting with the neighbors on this property, the Lauren Green property, and failed to mention that she was actually working with these neighbors on this checklist at the same time, which is somewhat startling.
It makes politicians into busybodies all of a sudden. But see, Harold asked the question. He asked Lauren Green where she's from.
And she said she was from this area.
No, is she from this area or just her kids?
Well, how,
I've lived in Santa Cruz.
Are you born and raised here?
I've been in Santa Cruz County for 24 years.
Well, see, there you have it. You know, I mean, there you have it. In other words, you can't make a phone call like I can make a phone call, or Harold can make a phone call and get things done.
And no, that's why they got their architect, Richard.
Huh?
That's why they have the architect they do.
Well, yeah, he can't make the phone call. He's not from here.
No, but
either.
He's getting stuff done. I couldn't make a phone call and get stuff done.
Exactly. So it
they should call you and let you make the phone call.
Well, hey, pay me enough money and I'll be there.
How much is enough for you?
I don't know. I'm still
call me and leave it on the answer machine. I'll talk to the green.
Because when you know, next time we have an election, I want to get paid, right? Voting again.
That's a good idea. Richard, anything else?
That's it, bye.
Thanks so much. 479-1080, 477-1340. We're talking about compatible neighborhoods. And I, by the way, I'm going to ask Mark when he picks up here, and Marion on my next call, if they have a definition for compatible neighborhoods as they start to call Mark.
Hey, Vernon.
Yes.
You know, when someone asks your guest, Richard or Harold, how long they lived here, they have the wrong answer. Should be none of your darn business.
Listen, whether they want to say it or not, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, it's totally irrelevant.
Totally irrelevant.
In this country, it's absolutely irrelevant.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to stay away from the Constitution.
Oh, by the way, Mark, let me butt in here right now, because that's one of the things I've always found interesting. If people want to ask how long someone's been here,
Yeah. Look
at most of the people on the city council here who are Johnny-come-latelys. They're not born and raised here like Richard, you know, and they're so nondescript to me, their names all evade me right now, but most of them are newcomers here, running the town, talking about what Santa Cruz should be like, and here we have some people that bought a piece of property in a neighborhood that's only governed by the building codes, and people don't like it, and there's something, I don't care that they don't like it. I don't personally care, and I don't think that has anything to do with anything. Go on.
Well, I want to bring common sense into this. And, you know, these people have purchased a lot. They want to build an R1 zoned home, meaning one family's going to live there. It sounds like through what they're going through, their property taxes are probably going to run around $12,000 a year, kicking into the local economy, local infrastructure. Being a single-family R1 zoned house, I think their demands on the local infrastructure of police, fire, schools are going to be somewhat limited. And the county fixating on them, it just boggles my mind where we here in South County have raged a war for years where people take an R1 zoned house, move three or four families into it. There's 20 people living in a 1,600 square foot home. There's parking out on the lawn. There's parking out in the street. The demands on the infrastructure as far as schools, fire, social services, hospital, possibly even welfare, are horrendous. And we complain about that, and we get zero action, and we've been complaining for the last 20 years, where here these people are paying their dues, paying their taxes, abiding by the laws, and they're getting focused on. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to me at all. And then if you want to see incompatible housing, go down East Lake Avenue in Watsonville, look at Vista del Montaño, where they built those five-story apartment buildings in the middle of a residential neighborhood in the name of low-income housing, which is sponsored, directed, and overseen by in that case by the city of Watsonville, but in many cases by the same county. And these things are totally incompatible and totally pretty much a disaster for the community.
Well, the thing that's actually, in all fairness to the county planning staff in the situation, they haven't been the primary problem. It's Supervisor Butts and Ellen Peary have come up with this concept that if your neighbor doesn't like your house, you have to please them. And so they're creating a process with this checklist encourage that. And that's where it goes back, where two supervisors are catering to what really is a relatively small portion of the community against individuals, essentially allowing the bullies to take over the playground.
Well, my point is, where we've come in and stated our neighbor is violating the law, taking an R1 zoned house and making an apartment house out of it, not paying the taxes, not going through the permitting process, not putting into the local infrastructure, our supervisor will totally ignore us on that because it's somewhat politically sensitive issue, and they will not go into that at all.
No, I agree. I think the majority of the public that has dealt with the county process for doing a single-family home has been saying, you need to make this process better. You need to give me quantifiable things that I can do. I'll follow the rules. But you need to give it to me. And instead, they're spending time on these checklists and giving these really vociferous people traction on taking away a process that should be a reasonable one.
And we're asking for equal enforcement of the law. If they're going to enforce the law on you, and it's a pretty vague law, and why don't they force the laws that are actually on the books? As far as zoning, as far as, people living in a single-family home, as far as the tax basis for that, those laws exist. They're in concrete, but we'll call Ellen Peary, we'll call Tony Campos, and we'll be totally ignored on that fact, again, because I think it's a political hot potato of the affordable housing in this county.
By the way, Mark, as a side note, I was just trying to think in my own mind in terms of structures that seem to be incompatible with a neighborhood. One comes to mind is that brand new Page homeless
yeah.
building right there at River. When you come in going to Costco, that big ugly yellow building, three story right there, that sure seems to be pretty incompatible with that area, amongst other things. This whole concept or idea is nuts to me.
What happened to the neighborhood checklist on that? And the same thing with the marijuana distributorship right down the street by the park. Again, the neighbors had a checklist and they were totally ignored on that.
Something's wrong.
This neighborhood checklist, I think if you remember in the past, remember the community plans in the unincorporated area? We had the Corralitos community plan, we had the La Selva Beach community plan, we had the Aptos community plan. And it basically had compatible planning. Your driveway would look like this. Your shrubbery out in the front yard would look like this. They mentioned view sheds. They mentioned a lot of things I've heard today. And the communities got up and said, no way. We do not want this. And I think this what they're coming up with, this checklist, is sort of an end run around these community plans that were rejected in the past.
Mark, thanks. Got to move on. Anything else?
No, that's it, Brian.
Thanks so much. 479-1080, 477-1340. Lynn, I'm going to get to you soon here, but got to take Marion. She's been on hold a long time, or he has. Marion, hello.
Yes, hello.
Yes, what do you think about compatible neighborhoods, and do you have a definition for what's a compatible neighborhood?
Well, a compatible neighborhood is having everyone say what they want, and no one ever agrees on the same thing. It's like the 10 families. You put something in front of them, and they'll all disagree on some part of it. And the thing I don't understand is a new house like this will improve the neighborhood so much, increase the equity in other neighbors' homes, and why, oh why, would they prefer to have an old house with part of a foundation rather than a new house that's beautiful, that it's going to increase the value of their home?
Well, it seems to be a certain arrogance in a neighbor thinking that they have the right to dictate what their neighbor builds. And that is the epitome of arrogance. You know, as far as I know, I was born human. I've got a finite number of days left on this planet. I am not God. I'm not the one who was given the magic wand that said how things should be. And yet it seems when we have neighbors saying, well, you can't do it this way, as long as it's compatible and consistent with building codes, it just boggles my mind.
Well, another thing, too, with a house that they want to build, the tax will be much higher than what they're paying now, I assume.
Oh, they're going to do a lot to support schools with the cost of taxes on that property.
Well, and another thing, too,
bless them,
is this water situation. These new houses have certain limits on what they on their showers, on their taps, and everything, so they will be using less water than they would be now.
Glenn and Lauren, let me ask you a question. How big a family do you have? How big a family is going to move into this house?
There's the two of us, and we have one son still at home. The rest have all moved away.
It doesn't sound like you're going to make excessive demands on the resources of the community with three people living in the house, that I can tell.
Well, by the time it's built, it'll probably be just the two of us.
It's huge water needs there.
We actually, we were supposed to start the house in probably, February? So we've been in a rental since January.
I think what's happening with you guys is absolutely criminal, too, by the way, because of the costs that you're incurring. Mm-hmm.
in the process of trying to get your home built. This should have been well underway, it seems to me.
We've had to hire...
get right up against that.
We've had to hire, we're on our third attorney, four geologists, and to go through this process. And we're actually scheduled to go to the Coastal Commission in December.
With your hat in your hand?
Yeah.
Remember, I told a graduate student friend of mine before his committee one time, grovel. Somehow you don't defy the powers that be. Marion, anything else there?
No, I think I've said all I want to.
Thanks so much for your call. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. 479-1080, 477-1340. Anyone else want to make a comment before I go on to Lynn on cell phone here?
Yeah, I was. You were talking about what's the definition of compatibility. The current coastal zone regulations, which don't apply in this case, but supposedly apply within 300 feet of the coastal bluff, has statements such as visually compatible and integrated with the character of the surrounding neighborhoods or areas. You know, that's a great definition. Another one would be require new development to complement the scale of neighboring development. That's another one, you know, you could really put your...
I'm just amazed by all these adjectives that we've gotten so adept and adroit at using in a society that they're never defined, they don't mean anything.
And another one is relate to adjacent development and the surrounding area. So, you know, we can really get some objective.
You can really get your teeth, sink your teeth into those things. Right. Lynn, you're on the air. Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
And I'm sorry I'm on a cell phone, but I'm actually even going through a remodel project myself right now. It's within the city of Santa Cruz, so I'm on my cell phone rather than a landline. And I'm also on the general plan committee because the city of Santa Cruz will be, and I'm not going to say we're going to struggle through these things, but these very kinds of topics we get to relook at as we go into the next 20 years of planning. So I missed your first hour of the specifics of the green situation, so I'll listen tonight at 10 o'clock. But what I'd like to just weigh in on is that there is a lot of the nebulous what is compatible. And that's where a lot of the friction comes in when one neighbor thinks that they get to tell another neighbor, here's what I want you to do. And I had to go through that process. I'm on a substandard. I'm on a lot that's more than 5,000, but it's under 50 wide, so that puts me in the substandard category. So I went through a public hearing process. And I felt like I really did my homework because I also helped start a group called Santa Cruz Neighbors, kind of help people understand all the pictures, all the different things that are changing, because the one thing you can count on is that change will happen. And so I just think that it's worthy to have that criteria that sounds like the county might be missing the mark on. They're going maybe about it the wrong way, because there is, and it sounds like Cove's got that same idea. You've got to have parameters around what people find acceptable, but they have to be really clear from the get-go.
And that's the problem with, like, by the way, I've asked the question over and over and over, what is a compatible neighborhood? I do have an answer for that. You don't know that, do you? You want to hear what it is?
I'd love to hear it.
It's called tract housing.
Yes.
Tract housing. Tract houses, all cookie cutters are the same thing. You know, right pattern, left pattern. You know what they are, Cove, you know?
Vernon hit it on the head.
That's compatible neighborhood.
Yeah, I remember when I was living in England, they had these row houses, you know, and the only difference between one house and the other was they used to paint their door a different color.
Yeah, so really that, you can't get more compatible than what I've just defined, which seems inconsistent with, Santa Cruz, who talks about its diversity. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Lynn.
Yeah, that's actually amusing. My sister is, when I go up to my sister's house in Vacaville to figure out what street she's on, I always look at this fountain that the neighbor put in front that made their house look different, and then I figured out, oh, there's my sister's street.
And you know what? Under the current suggestions, the neighbors might have complained about that fountain, and you might not be able to find your sister's.
So, I'm really going to, tonight I'll listen so I can kind of figure out where to go to and learn about the this checklist, because I have to say, the project I'm going through has been an absolute delight. I may be the exception, the anomaly, and my whole project, we raised our kids in a 900 square foot house. Our son is 16, he's still home, and we're growing all of when we're finished, it's not even a 1,400 square foot house, but it's a phenomenally wonderful facelift. It flew through the, because I had a public hearing. You know, I had my sign posted out front. Anyone could come and speak to it. And, but I really did my homework, and I worked with my neighbors, in terms of letting them know what my project was in advance. And, then I sat on it for quite a while, because it turns out then you find out how expensive it might be to do a project like that. And they were just all, well, when are you going to do it? They loved what we had put together, and now we're finally doing it. And it is going to be a wonderful addition to the neighborhood. It's turning, I mean, it's in the process now. And so I think I'm one of those exceptions. And in the city of Santa Cruz, we're on small lots. And I think that's the other issue we're talking about here. It sounds like the Greens moved from a country situation, that's when I caught in, and to a much, you know, you're more in a dense situation. I think there's the big key and big struggle we have is the new density types of changes that everyone's experiencing, like Seabright.
Listen to the show tonight, too, as you said, Lynn, because one of the things that has been underemphasized in the second hour, really, here, is how much the Greens have gone out of their way to appease the neighbors at large. And they just can't appease everyone, is the sense I got.
And, Lynn, it's the scope written. And we've done a fair amount of work in the city of Santa Cruz, and it works a lot smoothly there, a lot more smoothly. The Planning Commission is more apt to follow the rules than to listen to vociferous neighbors. Same thing with Capitola. By and large, there's exceptions there. It's particular neighborhoods in the county of Santa Cruz have some very vociferous people there, and they will fight the project regardless.
At that point, you end up with a situation where you're just, I mean, that's where truly a set of rules that everyone says, this is what we go by. We had one in our neighborhood, and I didn't like really necessarily chiming in, but I did originally, but totally supported the secondary project when Philippe Kahn had the plans that he had for a very, very, very large project on West Cliff right near the end of our neighborhood. The only reason that it seemed valid to speak to it, because in the end you just go, this is someone's private property, why are we speaking to it at all? But it was, you know, it even included an underground garage for 10 cars, and there was concerns with the cliff. But then another project came out of that that I went totally supported. I was amazed watching people not like the design and say, well, that looks right in Tahoe, but not here. And if you want to talk about a compatible neighborhood, you go along West Cliff, you've got a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You've got a little bit of everything. And for everyone that doesn't like this house or that house, there's another house they do like. And when you put that whole landscape together, like,
we have our community. Lynn, gotta move on, dear.
It's wonderful. That makes a neighborhood. It's a little bit of everything.
Gotta move on.
I'll listen tonight.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your call. 479-1080, 477-1340. I'm gonna have to increase the pace here. Pat, you're on the air.
Hi. I heard early in the show somebody talking about the history of the house. I don't know who that was. I think it was built in the early 1900s.
That was Glenn Cerisa.
That was Glenn who was talking about. It was originally some sort of a beach house.
The original house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have an exact date on that?
Do you happen to know what the original?
I mean, what the year? Exact year?
Those 1930s, roughly.
Yeah, it was in the early 1900s. We don't know exactly because houses weren't permitted back then. I mean, there was no county permit process.
Yeah, it was built sometime after 35, January 35, and previous to 1940. If you look at old maps, you can see that, the old aerial maps.
All we have is an aerial a photograph of the area, and it shows the house and the date on the photograph, so that's how we're approximating.
Yeah. Well, there's
the time.
A 1935 aerial photograph, too, and it's not there. It was in January of 35, but it is in the 40s, so. That brings your date down there. I did not realize it was built by the owners of the hotel. I know they built rental houses, but are you sure about that?
Yes, there was a whole series. Well, you're probably aware of that whole series of bungalows that had no kitchens, and the hotel.
And this was one of them.
This was one of them.
Oh, okay. Because you know, but back in those days, all of those homes had to be approved by the developers. So even back then in the 30s, they had to show their plans to the developers before they could even build.
Well, the hotel built that themselves.
Yeah.
So they were the developers.
So they were,
so I imagine
yeah,
they looked
but I mean
at them
any
themselves.
Other house. I thought I heard Vernon say that there's nothing governing this but the building code, and that's not really true.
No, what I said was that in my opinion, when you try and make determinations on what can or can't
be built. That you need to use objective criterion such as building codes in terms of setbacks, percent lot coverage, and things like that, things that get into the esoteric or the aesthetic looks of the house in terms of your, how you paint it, whether you got dormers, you know, for one and two stories. I have a problem with neighbors determining that. That's what I actually said.
Okay, I understand that. But were the purchases of the property informed that since it was in the coastal zone, in that area, that it would be a discretionary permit, and they would, you know, talk about the checklist. The checklist wasn't created because Jan or Ellen wanted to create it. The checklist is there. It's part of the
It's not in the coastal zone, we found out.
Anything on the ocean side of the highway is a discretionary permit. And has a checklist.
Well, I can't speak to that, but I've been, Clovis shaking his head here.
That's actually not correct.
There is
the exclusion zone for residential. So in that area, more than 300 feet away from the coastal bluff, then you're in the exclusion area for single family residential. Therefore, you're not subject to discretionary.
You're not subject to the Coastal Commission, but
they're not
considered by our county to be a discretionary permit and subject to an EIR. And the EIR,
not for single-family residential.
Excuse me?
It's not subject to a discretionary permit for single-family residential. Have to do a negative.
This is Cove, the architect and stuff, who I would assume is pretty... Pat, I'm almost out of time here.
Okay.
I want to try and squeeze
Can I ask one last question?
Yes.
I would wonder if the owners have thought about the house that's right next to it, that's on the ocean side, that's one story, how they're going to feel when somebody comes in there and builds another... A bigger yacht house, and they can't see, and they lose their ocean view.
We don't have an ocean view. And
you
don't
have, even on your top story, you wouldn't have an ocean view?
That's correct.
Huh.
We don't have an ocean view because the houses on the bluff are quite large, and we never see the ocean.
And
we have no problem because they have the right to build whatever they want to build when they buy that house.
Yeah. Pat.
Okay.
And the next door neighbor negotiated a view easement with the houses that are across the street that are being built. So his view was protected with the houses that are going in and across the street on the bluff.
The next-door neighbor on the non-ocean side?
The next-door neighbor on Seaview on the end.
Listen, going to go here real quick,
right.
Pat. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I got
Bye-bye.
1 minute here. Jan, I'm not going to be able to get you in. Ms. Norman in Watsonville?
Yes.
Yes.
I just want to make a comment regarding districting and... and neighbors and stuff. We have 25 acres that we had approved, and the land, they had already drawn up the plans and everything, and we've owned the property for years, but however, they keep putting us out and saying they don't approve. Finally, this year, the district supervisors approved the subdivision. However, we have neighbors that keep filing lawsuits to stop us. And it's really ironic because we went to hearings a lot on this, and the Coastal Commission, Pahara Water District said, first the neighbors said that, because I got up and spoke.
We're out of time. I wish I could give you more, but I hope you get everything pushed through, okay?
Okay, well, we're still struggling with it, but the people keep trying to stop, but the Pahara Water District said that we have plenty of water for ourselves because our wells are good, and But we know what it is about neighbors saying.
Yeah,
stuff.
Neighbors are crazy. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, Vernon.
You're welcome. Okay. This has been the Saturday special. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed in for MZ. He should be back next week. Sorry we're out of time. We ran over a little. We should go to the news, Fox News, in progress.